What did you make of that Christmas Day strike by Russia on Ukraine?
Well, once again, Russia just showed their efforts to redouble the attacks that they've been doing on Ukraine, obviously doing it in a brutal fashion where they're focusing primarily on the civilian population, clearly not even attempting to strike military targets. This was an effort to destroy the electric power grid all across Ukraine and, if you will, plunge the country into darkness here as we enter the winter. There are some reports that up to half of the Ukrainian electric power grid has, in fact, been damaged in the process.
What's been the response, if anything, so far from the White House about this strike by Russia?
Well, obviously, President Biden, you know, denounced this big attack occurring on Christmas Day, and there was a combination of 170 missiles and drones as part and parcel of this attack. Mr. Biden also announced that he would redouble his efforts to surge military aid to Ukraine until his presidency expires on the 20th of January. And over the last couple of weeks, about $2 billion total in U.S. military aid has been forwarded to Ukraine. This is based on previous authorizations by the United States Congress. And the Biden administration has said they're going to exhaust what funds are allocated prior to the president leaving office. Now, whether they can do that or not, just based on the sheer logistics, remains to be seen. But they're certainly redoubling their efforts to provide Ukraine the military aid it requires to slow, if not halt, the Russian aggression.
With that strike that was carried out, what is the future for this conflict now as we look forward to the third year between Russia and Ukraine in this fight?
I guess what we could say is things seem to be moving towards some discussion of it, of a ceasefire and negotiations. That being said, on the Russian side, over the last few days, various spokesmen for the Kremlin have underscored Mr. Putin's position that negotiations are what he requires and not a ceasefire. He also demands that the four provinces he claims are part of Russia be given to Russia as part of any negotiations. Furthermore, that Ukraine be neutralized, its military forces be limited, the Zelensky government, in fact, leaves office. And furthermore, both the West and Ukraine denounce any possibility of Ukraine ever entering NATO. Whether or not, in fact, that's a basis for negotiations as Mr. Trump takes office on the 20th of January remains to be seen. Throughout the campaign, of course, Mr. Trump said that he could end this conflict in a single day, but has never been able to reveal how the heck he's going to do that. He did, in fact, appoint a special representative, a guy named Keith Kellogg, who had worked in the White House for him in his previous administration, to be his special envoy. So that'll be top, I think, of his foreign policy agenda when he assumes office on the 20th of January.
Visiting with CBS News military analyst Jeff McCausland. Jeff, turning our focus toward that ongoing conflict between Israel and Hamas, reading some reports this morning, seems to be some optimism by some American families that once President-elect Trump takes office, there could be some sort of deal to get those Americans hostages back home. Is that something that you're hearing as you talk to some folks on the ground?
Well, throughout this conflict, there have been various, you know, optimism raised about some kind of agreement whereby the hostages would be released in terms of releasing a large number of Palestinians that are in Israeli prisons, only for those to be dashed. Over the last week or so, that seems to be increasing once again. Hamas has removed some of its objections, which were primarily Israel insisting that it maintain military forces in the Gaza Strip, most notably on the southern border, an area called the Philadelphia Corridor, and across central Gaza, a place called the Nazarim Strip. That being said, the Israelis claim that the Hamas has been able to provide a full comprehensive list, frankly, of all the hostages. That may be in part due to the fact that they don't control all of them. There's always been a belief that some of the hostages are held by rival groups to Hamas, but in the Gaza Strip. Excuse me. So it remains to be seen. Also remains to be seen, quite frankly, whether or not Mr. Netanyahu wants an agreement and the hostage release to occur in the last few days of the Biden administration, or if he'd like to wait and, frankly, see that particular agreement come into fruition in the first few days when Mr. Trump's in office. So, in some degree, Trump, I think, would try to claim some degree of credit for that particular agreement coming to fruition.
Jeff, as I let you go, one other comment made by the president-elect in recent days saying he wants to take back control of the Panama Canal. What do you make of those comments?
Well, it's a little unusual, to say the least, with all the things going on in the world. One of the last things I would expect you to talk about would be Panama, but there we have it. Mr. Trump has complained that the Panamanians are charging outrageous fees for the United States to transit the Panama Canal, which is a very important economic lifeline to move, you know, material to the Pacific Ocean from the East Coast of the United States. He claims that if this is not rectified, that he would consider retaking the Panama Canal, which, again, it would be pretty difficult to do since under international law, we signed a treaty whereby that territory remains in Panamanian hands. But he insists he's going to pursue this in some fashion. In the past, of course, has the United States intervened militarily in South America and Latin America? Certainly it has. Most notably under the Monroe Doctrine, where we thought a foreign power was trying to intervene in the area to the detriment of our national security. The most classic example, of course, being the Cuban Missile Crisis when the Soviet Union was putting missiles into Cuba. But there doesn't seem to be any major evidence that something like that is occurring in Panama.
CBS News military analyst Jeff McCausland. Jeff, always appreciate the time and the perspective. Happy New Year to you and your family. Look forward to talking again very soon.
Take care and have a happy New Year.